Last night we recorded Coastal Noise Podcast episode 18 with Ryan Vanskyver and Lyle Stevens and Daniel Cavanaugh. Mostly in this episode, we talk about stand-up comedy. Me, Daniel, and Ryan are all kind of starting to gear up to do more stand-up oriented entertainment around here on the coast, and it was nice to sit down and really just flesh it out. And we talk about everything from crafting material, different styles that comedians can use to approach their art form, stage presence and first time experiences, being nervous and dealing with crowds and that kind of thing. We talk about who we think some of the top dogs in comedy are in comedy showbiz right now. And how comedy usually comes from a really dark place, but yet it's still something that is very relatable to all people. And it's, you know, this relatability that makes it still funny, even though it comes from a oftentimes a dark and twisted place. And we talk about expanding stand-up on the coast and what we hope for in the next coming years of what could branch out. And we really ask in the show towards the end for, you know, people, anybody out there who knows of open mics or knows of somewhere that might consider hosting a an open mic or even a strictly open mic for stand-up comedians. There's not very many places around here that do it. And Daniel actually went to Hattiesburg this past Monday just to do a five-minute set for an open mic at the Keg and Barrel. And he met up with the guys who do the Hub City comedy up there. And they've been going for a while. They were there when I was at USM. And they all just really embraced Daniel and encouraged him and, you know, really want other people to come up there to do new things. And we hope that they can make a trip down here and do some things around the coast, and maybe even get them in a podcast in the near future, because it's great what they're doing, and it's great that they're so enthused about it and impassioned by it. So Hub to Hub City Comedy, keep it up. After this podcast, we actually, which was, you know, strictly about comedy, we left that and then went down to Ocean Springs to do actual stand-up comedy. And it was a lot of fun. It was one of the most fun nights I've had in a long time. I mean, the energy from just going to this podcast, which was a great conversation. This was a fantastic hour, 30 minutes, whatever we did, that we sat down here and just really talked and told stories and all this kind of stuff and had a lot of laughs. So it was great to take that and go straight to the bar and go to the stage. And, you know, it was my first time doing it, and I had a lot of fun with it, and it was just really very cool, very positive experience, and we hope to do it again next Thursday. The Grocery does it every Thursday in open mic around 9:30, and so it was a lot of fun, and we want to encourage anybody who wants to get up on the stage, you know, to come along. If you're nervous about it, if you've never done it before, just come find us and talk to us. You know, we understand we're still in the opening phases for ourselves in this personal experiment, but it's a great thing. It's really fun to do. And even if you don't want to get up on stage, even if you just want to be a part of the audience, we need more people that are attentive and geared toward it. Plus they do music too. So you get music, you get comedy, you get the social aspect, great food and drinks and all that good stuff. So consider it. It's a lot of fun. For the podcast page on the website, that's where you can find the rest of our podcasts that we've done, and you can download them. There's a file button where you can download it to your smartphone or your computer. You can just download the file straight off, and there's also an audio player where you can just listen from the website itself. There's also a blog page where I'll be posting up show notes for both podcasts we just had. I'm going to do CNP 17 with Douglas Lee Morrison, Chris Gillsby, and Anthony Lozano and Brittany Koblenz. And that's going to be coming up pretty soon here. And then I'll do the one for the podcast that you're listening to now. I also have a recent article that I put
Oh,
up
yeah, that's true.
called.
Thursday, at the
Oh,
switch open mics to
excuse
Wednesdays.
me.
Wednesdays.
Hold that
You know,
thought.
we need.
My apologies for that. Accidentally ran over my time limit there, but of course, you're probably done listening to me. You're ready to hear the conversation. But anyway, like I was saying, I just put an article called "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?" And that's not what it's called. That's what it's about. It's called A Geological Odyssey Through Mississippi, an analysis of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?, a film by the Coen brothers. It's one of my all-time favorite movies, and I really put sweat and blood into this one, so I hope you can check it out and just kind of see. It's a very interesting analysis of, or not analysis, comparison rather, the film itself to Homer's The Odyssey, and just what it means to me as far as music-wise and the writing, the acting, the performance, just how it all blends together, the pizzazz that the Coen brothers put into it is really interesting. It's what makes him one of the great filmmakers of this era. But enough of that. If you want to continue to follow on with everything we do with Coastal Noise, you can follow me, Stefan Lawson, on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter. And Coastal Noise has a Twitter page also that you can follow. If you need to contact us directly on the web page, you can do it from the home page. And I don't know, there's somewhere else too, but homepage will cover it, I promise. So, hope to have more guests through December very soon. A lot of people that are in town and off from college and just kicking it for the holidays. So we hope to have them in soon and just hang out and do more. I won't say who because I have no solid obligations to anybody. I do have a confirmation that Corey Yunkel and Will Lammons will be making an appearance on the podcast again very soon. And who knows, maybe we can get Bryce Daniel and Charles Favre, and maybe Garrett will get in here as well. But enough of that. Let's talk about the now. And now is the Coastal Noise Podcast, episode 18.
You know what we need to do? This is going to be a podcast conversation, but I'll bring it up again later. We've got to figure out a way to find a spot where we can get a like a healthy amount of comedians to show up on a regular basis.
I agree.
And basically all the, I've got the idea for it. I think it would be a great spot, especially if they would let us work outside at Mizo's.
Yes.
And Mizo's a very cool lady. She would be down with something like that.
Yeah, no, she's had those before.
Yeah, well, has she?
Yeah, but yeah, I guess comedians could probably go outside because they wouldn't break the noise ordinance, you know.
Yeah, unless you're just like an asshole.
Unless you're really funny.
Screaming. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Too many laughs.
If you,
I would hope I break the fucking sound code out there. I hope they call the cops on me.
If you probably if you go to a bar on a night when they don't have anything scheduled, like a Wednesday or a Tuesday, whatever, if you tell them, like, hey, I want to do this, I can bring, you know, equipment or use your equipment, I'm sure they'd be down.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's something that we need to make happen.
It brings people into the bar.
Yep.
As, you know, guy like me, I don't know that I'm trying. I guess I'll admit it, I am. I would like to be a paid comedian. You know, but in order to do that, you really got to work on that a lot. And what I'm thinking is if we could get a spot to go on like Tuesdays or Sundays or something like that, and then we'll have one spot we can go to the grocery on Thursday, and maybe that evolves later on and we get somewhere to go on, you know, Fridays or, you know, whatever. Just get
make a circuit.
Yeah. I want to create a comedy circuit down here.
Yeah.
If you could bring bodies into a bar, I'm sure they'd let you book like a Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And actually get paid, perhaps. I don't know.
That interests me a great deal. Because if I can get paid as much as I am working at the Hard Rock for talking shit for like 20 minutes at a time, that's like my, it's, don't judge me, but that's like my peak, that's like my mark for success at this stage of my life.
Can you imagine?
I need to go back to college, and I understand that. But for right now, that's like the best I could be doing in my head.
Did you get an associate's, or did you go to college at all?
I did. I went to college for a little while, and for like 3 years, and didn't get. I fucked up a pretty good amount. I failed a lot of classes. Got a couple credits here and there. I got a couple in my pocket. But that's really it. And it's I was dealing with all this stuff with my family that I've had a crazy past like 5 year block, and I'm planning on getting back in here in either the summer or the fall. But I did say that last winter. I was like, I'll be in August, and then I was like, fuck, I'll be in December. I don't think I'm going to be in the spring semester this year, but I am going to get back in there when the time comes.
What major do you want to declare?
That's part of the deal. Showbiz. That I,
Showbiz.
Yeah, man.
That'd be a great major, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. You can go to USM, and they do entertainment industry.
So, I didn't know that. That's really interesting.
Yeah, that's what I originally went for.
Yeah, did you?
Mm-hmm.
What did you, what happened with that?
Well, the program was pretty young at the time, and I just had this feeling. I was like, I know for certain that I'm always going to be playing music, and I'm always going to love this field, and I'm always going to teach myself because just the level of passion of which I have for the industry and respect for it in itself, I knew I was going to keep going with it. So I thought, you know, I'm going to college for this 4 years, spending all this money. I should get something that's a bit more of a general degree, something to fall back onto that, you know, that I wouldn't learn otherwise.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And, I mean, it's worked out so far. I'm not bothered by it. But the entertainment industry at USM is very based on things like either sound recording or managing in the entertainment industry, how to do film production, radio as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, I didn't learn probably any of this, what we're doing right now from USM, but I'm still doing it, you know?
Right.
So.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, my deal was I was in for, I had a marketing major going on, and I realized, like, I didn't know where I was going with it, and I failed out of USM, and I tried to go back to a place in Lafayette for a little while. I did like a semester there, and my mom got sick when that happened, so I picked up and I moved, and I haven't been back since. But I don't know what major I want now, and I don't know what path I'm headed on now.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I you know, I'm paying for everything by myself, I have a different appreciation for what I'm doing there.
Yeah.
Like when I go back in, I want to have a plan to get out. You know, right. And figure out where I'm going to be when that's done. Because I think the large majority of students today don't really know. There's a lot of undeclared guys. There's a lot of guys that go into business just because it's business and, you know, whatever. And I don't want to be one of those guys, you know. I want to make sure I'm headed somewhere, especially if I'm making an investment in it. Because that's a hard thing to do, is to, like, you know, dedicate a sum of money.
And time.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah, man, it takes up all your time, really. I mean, when you're a student, you're a full-time student.
Yeah.
And if you're tough enough to do it, you can, well, you might have to work a job or even two jobs, but I don't, that's a really tough thing to me. I never had a job when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'd be really, really tough, but people do it, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what I did up at State. And, I mean, Michael, I liked having like
Lyle. Can you scoot up to the mic a little bit?
Yeah, yeah. But like, it gives you more of a schedule. You're on more of a schedule every single day when you have work to go to after it. You know,
yeah.
You actually have to make time to study and whatnot, and it fits into that.
I think that's healthy for you. I think that's important to have
structure.
Yeah, I don't have any fucking structure. I'm winging it for most of the week, and then I work, and it's a pretty bummy lifestyle, but, you know, that's fun. are we recording now?
Oh, yeah, we've been rolling.
Oh, wow. All right.
This is
well,
it,
anyway,
man.
I think this is kind of a new thing for me. Like, I've there has been a gap to fill now that I haven't been in school.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm putting this energy into something good with this comedy thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how good I could be at it. But I, you know, I'm I'd like to find out. Because that's something I've always wanted to do, really. When I was a kid, when I was like 8 years old, I would wake up every day during the summer and watch, you know, Comedy Central Presents, those little 30-minute spots.
Yeah, man.
I would watch like five of those. I would watch an SNL just because that's what they used to break it up, and then they would come back to it for another couple hours. And I would do that almost every day. I loved watching comedians. Like, kind of got obsessed with it. Never acted on it ever until like a couple of months ago. I don't know when I did my first set, but it's
wasn't that long ago,
man. It really wasn't.
Yeah,
it's probably been about a month, huh?
Yeah, since your last one, but you've probably gone up 2 weeks before that, the time before.
Yeah. Huh.
I've lost track of the time. It's weird to me because when you were talking about how nervous you were the first time,
yeah,
was interesting to me because the first time I saw you a couple weeks back, it was your second time, yeah. I think, and you looked like you'd been doing it for a year. Yeah. You know, you looked pretty natural with it, yeah. And your delivery is very improv as well. So, I mean, I was impressed by that. So, just to hear you say that, you know, your first time was tough. I mean, you've already looked like you look like someone who's already become comfortable with it.
Yeah.
So, which is a good indicator of that is that it probably is something you should at least try to pursue, you know?
Well, yeah, man, that's a big compliment, really. I appreciate that. And people have told me that, and that's the compliment that, like, meant the most to me is that somebody told me that you look natural.
Yeah.
You know? And because that's a tough – I didn't know that it would be – whenever I thought about it before I'd ever done any comedy, I thought it would be, like, really clunky.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of was – I mean, it's still sore in my head. It is like I judge it way harder than anybody else because, you know, I'm up in front. I'm saying all these crazy things in the name of like being funny, but I'm still saying all this crazy shit to all these people that I don't know, and I'm like declaring. I've told some crazy stories.
Yeah,
that I'm not proud of. You know, and I've got more.
But isn't it funny? Some of those stories are what make people laugh the most, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it goes back to this idea that people all relate to on a basic level their own fuck ups, you know, yeah. And their own
fuck ups are funny. I don't know what it is.
They can be. Yeah. And I think when you make light of the situation by laughing at it instead of looking at it critically.
Yeah.
You know, our life's too short to live to be upset about every little thing that we come across that we fail at, you know?
That's true. And when you do stuff like that, I think you probably make a lot of people feel better about some of the crazy shit that they've done. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think anybody's ever gotten this crazy. I told the first set that I ever did was weird. In my head, it was weird. You seemed to enjoy it. But, like, it was, like, in my head, it was really dark. Because I was talking about these stories of me, like, blacking out, drinking. And that's just a fucking scary spot to be in your life. You don't ever want to wake up and not have any information about what you've done for the past, you know, several hours. Because it could have been anything, and it probably wasn't anything constructive, you know? I talked about waking up in your neighbor's house.
Yeah.
Which is a scary operation for me.
Yeah, you know, 85-year-old guy wakes up, go get his normal
nice
drink
as can
coffee.
Be, man.
Yeah,
he's such a nice guy, and I've always
he didn't know you were there.
No,
what no the clue.
Well, I didn't know I was there.
Well, neither one of you.
So
knew
let's
you.
Remember that.
This is my next door neighbor.
We were both surprised, and this I think this is the line that hits everybody. But this is I nothing I've ever said on stage was made up. I've only done three different sets, but and that's like 60 minutes of material. All that stuff was true. I walked into this guy's hallway. After putting on my shoes, I got comfortable with this place. I put on my shoes and am trying to figure out where I am. That's literally... I always heard about that in the movies. I thought... For years and years, I thought blacking out was not a real thing.
It's just a myth.
Yeah. I really thought it was a myth because I'd been drinking for like a little while and I had decided... I was like, this whole blacking... This is just bullshit for Hollywood. No. All that stuff is... really, really real. And shit'll get real when that happens to you. Okay, well anyway, I walk into this guy's hallway. He's sitting there reading the paper, In a chair in a hallway, and I don't know.
It's like 8:30 or 9 in the morning. Like, this guy's been up for a couple hours in his house with Skeezy in his house.
I was on his couch. Like, how often do you frequent your living room where, you know, it's been hours of your day and you haven't seen me yet? Or whatever. I look at him, and he looks at me. We make eye contact, which is a strange spot for me. And the first thing he says is, "Who are you?" And the first thing I said to him was, "Oh, shit." And that's absolutely true. And we just worked that out. I was like, "Man, I'm really, really sorry about this. Honestly, I don't know how I got here. I can't imagine why I would have done that, but I don't know where I am. Could you point me at least into the bathroom. Right direction?" Yeah, it's...
Have you told that story on stage?
I have. That was the first. That was one of the first ones I ever told.
That's a damn good opener.
That's funny, but it's a dark look into like a spot in my life where I went for like a little too crazy on alcohol. Obviously, mm-hmm. I passed out over at his house next door to this guy's house, up a flight of stairs.
He had to make his way down an entire flight of stairs, walk about 300 or 400 yards. And go up another flight of stairs and enter this guy's house.
I can't imagine where I would have found the energy or like what spot in my brain would have been like, "Oh no, this is fine." You know, but that happened.
That's a crazy story. And I mean, like you said, it's weird that it's funny, but also in the same time, is a dark place. It's a dark place, but it is also funny.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say, because I mean, I think a lot of that stuff is funny, and I'm not into drugs. I don't really even drink that much. You know? I'm a pretty straight edge person. But one of my favorite comedians, some of my favorite comedians, and I don't have many. I'm actually not a big, huge like stand up watching guy.
Yeah.
I would be if it was local, but as TV and stuff, I just never really tune into it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the people that I do like, some of the ones that I think are the funniest. Are people that have had crazy lives beyond anything I would believe. Yeah. Joey Diaz. Perfect example.
I was just about to say that.
Nah, dude. He is the number one. He is the number one dude.
Man. That's a weird idol to have, man, but I think that's my guy. I think that's... I don't know that I want to be Joey Diaz. I don't know if I can handle that life, but man.
You want his improv kind of style. Because everything he says is true to life. He tells real stories. Some people think he is full of shit, but I can tell you he's not.
Yeah, I've heard him say something about that before, because people would come up to me like, "Oh, hey, man, you were lying about that stuff about the coke and setting the hooker's wig on fire and whatever."
Getting the stuff that killed Kennedy.
Getting the shit that killed Kennedy. That's so funny to me. That's what he says. Every week, your drug dealer would come through with some whatever killed the celebrity that week. Like, this is the shit that killed Whitney.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you knew that was the fire shit.
Exactly. You know?
But somebody said that to me, and he was like, "Why would I lie about being a loser? Like, why would somebody go up and tell
which
the
is
world
funny
that he's
because he's
asshole.
Not that guy anymore."
No.
Which is also what makes it so funny. He's now a pretty, I mean, most people, you'd probably have to listen to like 20 different podcasts he's on before you believe me when I'm saying this, but he's a pretty straight edge guy. You know,
he's got some principles.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
And that's something I appreciate with a lot of people.
He's just had so many, I think it's his experience of life.
He's a man is what it is, I think. That's what it really means to be a man to me, is to have a set of principles that you try not to waver off of.
Yeah, but his past life...
He's fucking nuts.
Yeah, like, but exactly. His past life is not exactly representative of a man, like a real man.
But
like,
it makes a great story.
It makes a great story, and that's where the comedy comes in. You know, if I had known Joey Diaz when he was at his darkest period, I wouldn't be around him.
Yeah.
I don't care how funny he is.
One of the guys I would have avoided.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I would... Because you just know, that guy's headed down a bad path, exactly. And he was. But look at him today, you know?
Yeah.
That guy's awesome. That's the first and only comedian I've ever seen live. I became like a huge fan of this guy. I listened to him on Joe Rogan's podcast, and then found him on. He had something called Beauty and the Beast for a while. Moved.
He does the Church of What's Happening.
Now. I'm a subscriber to the Church of What's Happening Now. That guy is. He's really impressive. That's kind of what I aim for, is to just be able to talk at length about whatever and still be able to be funny. And, mm-hmm. and he does it at, what, 2 times a week, you know, or whatever. He's always doing it.
And he goes on to other people's things, too, all the time.
Yeah.
Doug Benson. Do you like Doug Benson?
Are you going to bring it up? Because if you don't, I'm going to.
Okay, I'm going to bring it up. Last podcast we did, one of the guys who was sitting in with us told us about the new thing that Doug Benson is doing. It's called Getting Doug with High.
Yes.
And it's on a YouTube channel. And I just went to go check it out because he said it's really awesome. And Doug Benson's a pretty funny stand-up comedian. Yeah. So I went and checked it out, you know. And his newest episode is with Joey Diaz.
Yeah.
So
I watched that the other night. I wanted to say that. That's fucking awesome. But go ahead.
It's no, that's exactly what I was building up to, and it's a pretty interesting show. Have you ever heard of the show that he's got doing?
Yeah, I've never watched it, but I've heard of it.
You need to take some time out of your day.
At the end of it, end of it, after everything they do during the interview, which I mean you've already heard about, he makes them watch a magic trick.
Yeah,
that's like closes the show out.
Well, that's what I like about that is that his podcast kind of has a bit built into it, or like a theme. It's a smoke session with Doug Benson, and only Joey Diaz would. Doug Benson is a stoner and a professional stoner. He was on the edge of being able to talk and not being able to talk with Joey Diaz. That guy is a very dedicated smoker, and he eats have you heard about the Chibo Chews?
Yes.
Yeah. He talks about all these different kinds of candy. He said, that guy's a fucking animal. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't, we brought it up downstairs, and I'm going to have to tell you the story about our edit that out of the podcast, what I just said.
No.
But, I want to ask you, because I never got to see it. What was your first set like, and when did this happen?
Well, the first set was, when I went and saw you, that was his second time.
Yeah.
So the last time was before that.
So it was probably close to that. I think I'd heard about you doing it.
We're all brothers coming up in this, because tonight I'm doing it, so.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to see that, by the way.
Don't pressure me. I'm trying not to think about it right now.
It's going to be terrible, but
I don't want to watch it. It's the best terrible you could imagine.
No, man, you're going
to... I think I'm going to do...
I heard Chris D'Elia say this. I have you heard of that guy? Yeah. I'm going to pump this one podcast up real quick if I can. Mm-hmm. If you don't know about it, you should. The 10-minute podcast with Will Sasso, Brian Cowan, Chris D'Elia. I think if I'm not mistaken, I've listened to every single episode because I was there from the jump. Like I found it, and I found it on YouTube, and I commented. I was like, "Why the fuck is nobody talking about this? Like, this is the greatest."
This has been a 4-year experience for him, man. This has been like,
yeah,
you know,
what? Well, 2 years.
You think?
You know, but say 4.
Just
you know,
spice it up,
pump the story up a little bit. Shit, I was getting somewhere with Chris D'Elia.
We were talking about going up for the first time.
Yeah, okay, good. You brought me right back to where I needed to be. a fan wrote into the show and asked, he's like, I'm going to do open mic tonight. Do you have any advice? Whatever. And he's like, it's not going to be what you think it's going to be. And that's accurate. That's what I would tell you if you asked me. You didn't, but... You have
tell
that
me anyway.
Out. Yeah, it really isn't going to be what you think it's going to end up being. You're going to feel it when you get up there, like you're going to have bits like ready in your head, and you're going to think, oh, I'm going to say it like this and this and this, and you try to follow that.
My only thing that I'm telling myself right now is go as slow as possible.
Yeah, take
because
your time.
I'm going to
be
nervous to the point where I'm going to be speeding things up. So I'm going to hopefully that'll balance things out.
Yeah,
like just.
And practice, so I did that as well.
Try to think of it as just like us talking.
I didn't. You know what I mean? Still haven't practiced.
Well, that's for me. It's kind of like we talked about the two styles earlier of different of developing a trait. Like you might for stand up, you might take a real improv approach, not write anything down, just kind of go off you. That is definitely one way. And then another way is that you can write things down, and that's another aspect that's a very fine tune that, and I think you can. You choose your camp, but it's always important to learn from both.
Yeah.
From both to have a little bit of something or another.
Yeah, I think it's important to be well-rounded in that.
Yeah.
I envy guys that can write material and, like, have it ready. Like, Because I'm like right now. What time is it right now? It's like 7:40. That show is going to start at 9:30 or so, mm-hmm. and I'll be up somewhere in that time frame. And I really don't know what I'm going to say.
Yeah,
and it's I don't exciting, like that. Right? It's exciting. That's what it is. I mean, it's
nerve wracking as well.
But it really is. I've been nervous all day.
Yeah.
But it's been like this.
It made me nervous when you just told me what time it was.
Yeah, it's coming, man.
Yeah, don't remind me.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about this is that it's just an open mic.
Right.
That's yeah.
And the people are receptive.
In my head, when I first did it, I was scared. And mm-hmm. I was like really afraid. I told you earlier that I had to sit down. Like my knees are shaking. That happened.
Yeah.
But man, it's not so bad. You know, there's not really any pressure on it.
I've got experience performing in front of people. So
yeah, at least you have that.
That'll help a bit.
Yeah.
That's kind of the thing that I just got in my head recently, because I used to get super stressed out before. Mm-hmm. But now it's just kind of like, this is more of a growing experience for me. I'm not mm-hmm. trying to impress people. I'm trying to make myself better. So if you look at it that way, that kind of helps me a little bit.
Yeah. Like, which is true for all of us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
it'd be great
absolutely.
If we can keep this going and really... I don't know if you said this earlier. Does the Hard Rock have an open mic of some sort? Because I met a guy from who was also on the last podcast. He's one who told me about Doug.
Yeah,
Doug's new thing, and Doug was also another person on the last podcast, not Doug Ginson, but I digress. Anywho, so this guy Chris, he comes in and after the show, he tells me he's a stand-up comic and he lives in Arizona. He's studying film at Arizona State, and. We had a real cool talk, but he said he was a stand-up comedian as well, and I think he said that he's done the Hard Rock. I don't know if he meant a Hard Rock somewhere else or if there's one here, but I've also heard from other musicians in the local scene that Hard Rock was supposed to be opening up, thinking about doing something, so
I
may need to look
know,
into
man.
That. I need to check into it.
Yeah, I'm in there all the time. I could certainly ask a couple people.
Yeah.
And I'd like to find out. That's it. I mean...
It's a big venue to make it happen.
It's a huge venue to make it happen, man.
That would be cool.
To play in the Hard Rock Live.
Yeah.
It's also the Roadhouse or whatever. It turns into a club. That would be fun, man. You think about how much fun you have performing at the grocery where there's just, you know, a little room. Mm-hmm. But you get a big crowd of people. You know, I imagine that's more fun.
Plus, it's casinos. You're going to have tons of people guaranteed.
Yeah.
Some of them are going to have been drinking and doing all manners of unsightly things.
Yeah.
And to get that random crowd just coming through. Man. Oh, man, it would be awesome.
It was last week. It was my first, what I would describe as a bad set.
Yeah.
And I didn't bomb. Like, if you were paying attention, I made you laugh a couple of times, you know, like I did okay.
It was the situation,
crowd
though.
In general.
It was situational.
Like
it
the
was,
crowd in general you're talking about?
Yes.
The crowd wouldn't shut up.
That's like, the real deal. But,
absolutely. They were just...
For him?
Yeah, for me.
Well, it's because really? He went up, you know, when you go up late like that, everyone's drunk.
You're talking about
yeah,
this
and
past...
we're at a bar, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Not at a comedy club.
I got
that's
you.
Something I understand.
Yeah,
you
I
know.
Thought you were talking about it.
Those first two times were awesome, man, because everyone was really into it,
The
you
second
know?
One was... really good.
But your past one wasn't strong. Is that what you're
yeah, thinking? Basically. Well, when I got up, it was kind of like, I'm just going to get up to stay like fresh, I guess. Because
yeah.
I hadn't done it for, there was a Thanksgiving break and they weren't doing open mics, I don't think, on Thanksgiving
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And I had like a little gap there and everybody's like, hey man, why aren't you doing comedy anymore? I'm like, well, they just had, you know, whatever, I haven't done it. And I just kind of got up to do it and it was fine. But the first half of the room, like in front of me, was pretty receptive, and they were watching and trying to pay attention. And then it's 12 o'clock. It's midnight at a bar. The whole back half of the room is drunk at tables talking to each other. And when something like that happens, there's something that gets taken away from you, and it's timing.
Mm-hmm.
And because you can't pause where you want to pause, and you can't because you can't feel anything in the crowd. Because there's just like static in your ears, basically.
Yeah.
That sucks. That's not a fun thing to experience. But at the same time, the way I thought about it was, I'm going to have to get better at this. Because as the guy with a microphone, it's your responsibility to make those people have a desire to stop talking. You know, for them to want to listen to you. So that's kind of how, that's what I took from that night. Is that I just needed to get better at controlling a crowd. or you know, or you can't do crowd work when the crowd's not paying attention.
Right. Yeah, I've been thinking about that as well. And thinking yeah. about
we got to go on early, man. Leave that late night shit like, for the musicians.
Get there and sign up.
I'm thinking early, that like we can get there by like 8:45 or something like that. Like, yeah, be in the door.
And that's that's a 45 minute.
And make sure that
for
all
us.
Three of us are back to back, so that we have a comedy section.
They might not let it. They might not let that happen.
They'll let it happen. I know.
What are you doing? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Let it happen.
We'll make it happen.
Yeah.
We're gonna forcibly make it happen. Is that where we're at as a group? We're definitely gonna force.
We're going
this
in there with guns, bandanas. We're gonna yell some shit. We're making it happen.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to do it too. I don't when you and I worked, performed on the same night. We were broken up by a musician.
Yeah,
and I think that changed the crowd for you, like. Because you were kind of dealing with what I dealt with last week, is that there's just chatty people in the crowd. I guess it was later in the night, but man, that's an aggravating thing to do as a comedian.
Yeah, really can fuck up your whole set. Fun.
But if we do a block of guys that are all talking, the first one might, you know, they're going to set the tone, but we got to, you know, we're going to have a nice little window for ourselves to actually be able to talk.
I'm not going first, by the way.
Okay.
We can also agree on that right now.
We'll rock, paper, scissors for who goes first. Dude, come on. You draw straws or whatever.
Don't make the young guy go the first.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Well, if you don't want to go first, you don't have to go first. I'll go first. Or you, right. You know, whatever, if you want
to. It doesn't matter to me. Whatever.
This is going to be fun, man. I'm excited about this.
Heck yeah.
I can't wait to... You're a really intelligent guy. From what I gather, I'm just setting up my own conversation. It's not a compliment. I'm really interested to see where you're at comedically. You because you're a really calm speaking person. For the most part, I'm really interested to see what you do tonight.
I am too.
Hope that's not too
bad. I am too. Because this right here, what we're doing, has really given me a voice for it, you know.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you say, Daniel? I mean, you've done the most shows. You're a co-host at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, don't you feel like this kind of thing helps you in a way in terms of what you've done on stage so far?
Yeah, it's like exercising.
Exactly. Because you said, you got to get up there and work it out, basically.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
you work on timing. You can work on spontaneity, you know, because this is just a conversation.
Gives you new topics and stuff, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
Some of the things we've talked about, you know, how often do you talk about something with your friends? And this could be a thing that, you know, how you say you appreciate people who write.
Yeah.
That you could go back and listen to something. This is one of those things. Because you're probably a guy who has something that you experience in your life that's very funny, and then you just retell it.
Yeah.
And you retell it based off that experience because it's very funny to you, and that funniness makes it memorable for you.
Yeah. You really hit the nail on the head with that one.
Exactly. So if in a scenario like this where it's just we're just kicking it, we don't really have an agenda or anything like that, funny things get said. And it's great that we get to...
We're planting funny seeds is what it is.
Yeah, and nothing has to be written about this, about our experience here, because it's all right here on the computer.
You can go back
and it's going to be on the internet for like ever.
It is going to be on the internet. That's weird to me. This is my internet voice.
Exactly. You got a great voice for the internet,
my friend. I appreciate that, man. You have a very nice voice for the internet, too.
Thank you. Thank you. It comes with work on this one. Yeah. That's another thing. Just your voice, your tone, your quality of what you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, that all from going back, because I have to listen to these because I'm managing the website, I'm producing the podcast, I'm doing it all basically.
Right.
So I have to go back and listen. Sometimes I've gone back and like halfway through the episode after a day after I released it, I'll hear something playing in the background.
Yeah.
About some advertisement for pantyhose or something like that. And it plays for like 2 minutes and you just never knew because for whatever reason, while we were recording, we didn't hear it through the headphones.
Yeah.
But it's already out there and it's like, well, damn. So I have to go back and check to make sure that stuff's okay. So I hear myself a lot.
Yeah.
And from recording music and singing, I hear it back a lot.
You know your voice.
Yeah. And I've been doing music since high school, since I was 17.
Right.
So I've been recording and playing myself back for years. I've almost, like, it won't be long before I can say I've been doing it for 10 years, and that's pretty crazy to think. I've been doing anything for 10 years.
I know. I don't want to do anything for 10 years. That's really crazy. I never get to do this. I never get to hear myself, or I've never made it to practice or whatever, but I think that's going to help you a pretty good deal, at least when it comes to this comedy thing. Because mm-hmm. you know, that was the first thing I noticed, is that you sound, I sounded weird to myself on a microphone.
Yeah.
And that maybe, like, you know, shook up my timing, like, a little bit.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, the first time you heard yourself was on stage.
Yeah. It was a weird experience. That's not going to happen with you. I can't imagine it would or whatever. But at least you got that in your pocket.
I don't know, man. It's weird because whenever I go up to play music, I don't want to talk at all. Like, I get very quiet and hushed, and I say a few words, maybe, and I talk in some weird... It's like I almost develop a different character or something, because I'm just... and it's some sort of character who just doesn't want to... He just wants to play his music. He doesn't want to talk. But I want to talk. Like, I want to communicate with the people, because I'm up there anyway. And sometimes I do, but in a lot of it... Most experience so far that I've had, I'm just very... I just play, go. Occasionally say something if I have to. But... I don't know. I just don't ever feel like I have anything to say as well.
Right.
So it's just a weird thing. And even when I plan to say things that I want to say, if I try, sometimes it'll be all messed up. So to go up there and strictly, that's all I'm doing on the stage tonight. I can't hide behind an instrument. I'm just going up there to talk, and that's all I've got. It's going to be weird. It's going to be interesting. Hopefully the sound of my own voice and all that stuff doesn't spook me or anything like that. Yeah. But I think
I'm just going to go for it. You just have to be, you have to find a way to be comfortable.
Yeah.
That's easier said than done, I know. Yeah.
Got to find your bubble.
Once you're there, man, it's, like, I kind of found that around, like, when I was doing my second set. I kind of found out, like, where I was okay, like, you know. It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
But once you find that, it's not scary, like, anymore. Like, I'm not scared. I know I'm going to be winging some shit tonight. But I'm not, like, really nervous. Like, I'm just excited.
Yeah.
I have butterflies before I get on stage, and that's it. Before, it was, like, dreading going up there just because you didn't. Because it's a weird... To be a comedian is to put your... You're, like, announcing that you're a crazy person, you know, through speakers. And that's... I guess I'm okay with that, sort of. But
I mean, if they've been doing it for decades, it must be working, right?
Yeah.
It must be how it's supposed to be.
Yeah. I'm really, like, self-conscious about, like, before I did it, and still today, what am I talking about before? I feel weird about it because I think of other people looking at me on stage and going, oh, this guy thinks he's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Or he obviously thinks he's funny enough to take up 20 minutes of our time, you know?
Right.
And that puts a little pressure on you, I guess.
Yeah. I'm trying to not look at it as me going up and trying to be funny. Like, I don't want to be on stage and be trying to be funny.
Yeah.
I just want to be entertaining. And if people smile or chuckle or laugh as a result of that, then, I mean, I guess that's all right with me.
That is the right way to look at it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I don't know.
You're just going to go do what you're going to do, man.
Like, do the best I can. And then you get feedback and then mold it, do it again. Get feedback and go with it. I mean, I think that's what you're talking about. This has also helped a lot because, you know, people are hearing it. So, and it's kind of weird because we talk and a lot of people hear what we say with our voices without any, you know, being able to talk back. But with stand-up comedy, like, you're up there talking to the people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Instantaneous feedback.
Yeah, exactly. That's the crazy part. And that's something I've hoped that this helps.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't know. I mean, you could probably say so a little bit better, but I have a feeling it's going to be two different animals.
It always sucks when you're just like, yeah, they're going to laugh at this joke. You tell it and just fucking nothing. Nothing happens. You're like, what? And you just want to stop and explain it to them. Like, no, you should have laughed because this, and then.
Look, guys, this was
but
funny.
You can't. Yeah. I mean, you can if you're good at being that type of funny,
yeah.
Right.
But you can't go and pick it back up and be like, "Look, no, guys, you got here's why this is funny because that shit's not funny," you know.
Well, and that's another something that you might really want to consider for writing, because when you write, like, I didn't, you know, I kind of started thinking, you know, 2 or 3 years back that, you know, stand-up comedy could be a pretty cool thing to try one day. But I'm not just going to go up there. I'm going to start preparing. So I prepared for a long time. And I just started writing notes and just started writing material and building stuff up. And now, a couple of weeks ago when I decided, hey, you know, I think it's about time. Because he had done it, seen you do it. Right. And I had just, the universe had been pushing more, like, comedy-geared things towards me, I felt like.
Right.
And people just talking about it all around me, you know, just randomly, whereas before it wasn't as a prominent thing.
Yeah.
So I went back and I was just like, all right, well, I'm feeling like this is a good time, so I'm going to go back and look at my stuff. So I go through all my stuff, and it's crazy to see how many things I wrote down that I thought were funny that were stupid, that were not funny at all. And, you know, you can avoid a lot of that stuff, but, you know, you go up there thinking everyone's going to laugh at this, and you say it, nobody laughs. You can avoid a lot of that by writing it and then going back and being honest with yourself 6 months later and going, well, that didn't make me laugh, and I didn't funny, so it must be garbage.
Right.
And then just, you scrap it.
You,
and I'm hoping that's what gives me a tight formula.
You had a lot of material to go through, didn't you? I mean, you wrote for, you said, what, 2 years or something?
About 2 years.
Yeah. So you had a lot. How did you cut all that down into what you're going to do? Like,
how did
you
just
picked all what you thought were your best bits?
Oh, how did I went through the whole thing, and then I just, based on how funny it was.
Yeah.
What I thought was funny. You know? Once again, I could go up
there.
That's
interesting, man.
You know, and it not do anything well. Some things I just wrote, you know, when I say I had X amount of notes or whatever, some of those notes were maybe a sentence or two long. And it's just a premise.
Yeah.
It's just an idea. Or it could be a one-liner. And a lot of one-liners I'll go back to, by the way, Twitter, and talking about technology, improving what you're doing in your real life. Twitter is a great way for one-liners, short premises. Yeah. So
and you can get some feedback there.
Yeah.
Pretty instantly.
I used to write stuff, and then whenever I thought, you know, that could be a stand-up material in the future, I would favorite that tweet. And then I started realizing everybody saw me favoriting my own tweets, and I was like, oh, I look like an idiot. I look like an egotistic bastard. Exactly. So I stopped doing that. Now I write it down in a notebook.
You should talk about that on stage. That shit is funny.
See, and I never would have thought to say that, but now
thank God we did this podcast. Now we're all ready to go.
Exactly. This was a great idea, and I mean, you suggested the idea that we do this to warm up, and man, you talk about a fire idea.
Yeah, man. Well,
I was excited. I got off work, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to go do a podcast.
Yeah,
with two guys I've never done a podcast with, and Daniel.
You know,
and yeah, it's great. And then I'm going to do stand up afterwards.
I know you're a Rogan guy, right? As am I, and that's kind of where I've gotten this. I know that because I listen to it all the time. I know they do sets at that Ice House place that I heard is awesome. If we ever go out to California, we need to go to a couple of these spots, like the last spot, and you know, a couple different areas or whatever.
One day we need to all see if we can plan a road trip.
We could couch surf there.
Yeah, we can do whatever.
How have we not talked about this before?
That's an awesome idea. We need to just couch surf a circuit, a vacation, and just go to a bunch of cool places that have open mics across the country.
Definitely. But yeah, they do podcasts right before the show, and it's like a live stream thing, so you get to see, you know. And there's all these that's what's so cool is there's all these comedians just sitting at a table all being hilarious just because, you know, that's just who they are. Mm-hmm. And they're all trading out. They're like, all right, I'm going to go do 15 minutes or whatever. And I think talking like this keeps you, keeps you up.
It gears your mind up to stay alert.
Yeah.
Stay
like I'm ready to talk. Yeah. Like and it's hard to go in there cold if you just, you know, have been thinking about what you're going to do all day long. And whatever, like it'll kind of put a stopper on your energy, but this kind of brings you up. And now I think we're all, I'm pumped. I don't know if you guys are pumped up, but I'm a little pumped up. I don't know if you can see I'm pumped up, but we're going to go fucking do this thing, man. It's going to be fun. It's, and I think we cut you off. I never got to hear about it. I want to come back to it. What was your first set like? Do you remember any of the jokes you used? Anything that you're proud of?
First joke I opened with, I can tell you that. It's real quick.
Okay.
It's just something like, you know, people talk about if they could have any superpower. They usually go super strength, super speed. I always just say, I want to have invisibility. That's the one power I want to have.
Yeah.
And I would only do one thing with it. I would just run up to strangers, slowly fade invisible, and go, go back in time and make sure my parents fuck. And the people just stared just at me.
Disappear slowly.
So
that's awesome.
See, I think that's funny. What the fuck?
I thought it was funny too.
Yeah.
But no, it was a first time I did my set to myself and timed it, and it was about 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And then when I got on stage, it was 6 minutes. I just like vomited it all out, and yeah, just like it felt like 30 seconds. Time flew so fast for me. So
yeah, it feels that way for me too. Yeah. That's one thing I said. My shit is not tight. I'm just up there talking. Like you hear about guys, like you we were talking about that earlier about the was it Hub City Comedy?
Yeah, up in Hattiesburg.
Which, by the way, we need to see if any of those guys want to do a podcast.
We should have a conversation.
If they're thinking about getting it going down here, that would definitely help out people getting more awareness if they
go see them. 2 weeks they got a show, so we'll go up there. I'm going to go up there.
Yeah,
you guys want
to
come with?
When we go to that show, you said that they're really strict about 5 minutes.
Yeah,
I can't fucking imagine just doing 5 minutes.
It seems really short.
I've felt like I did 5 minutes before. And I've done 20.
You know why they do that though?
Blast jokes.
Why?
I guarantee you, this is why they do that. Is because they've got a local community scene, group of community stand-ups.
Yeah,
that have been doing it for a long enough time to where you could say they're like professional amateurs or something like that. Probably
right.
They've been doing it for a while. They know their thing. These 5 minute windows they get for a lot of them, and I don't know for sure if this is why they do it, but my guess is that this is a 5 minute slot for what they've figured out that they thought was funny this week.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're going up to just try that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
that's, I think that's probably pretty important as a comedian. You have to be able to condense 5 minutes of material.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to put that in a package and go and use it, you know, whenever. That's something I'm not good at right now.
Well, that's another benefit of writing.
Yeah.
Because you get to edit.
Yeah, man, that's something I'm going to have. I'm going to run out of stories.
I'll get more
as time goes on.
Yeah, you can make new ones.
You're going to run out.
But I am going to have to write a joke eventually.
Nah, I don't know, man. I like the informal, like, speaking as if it's, like, me to you. Stop,
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah, and that's maybe why I don't.
It's really comfortable,
but
you know?
Some of the most moving speeches of all time are done by people who planned it all out to speak to the people.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know?
It's just,
but like I said,
this is where you
two
put
different
your work
camps,
in, man. That's,
yeah,
yeah,
two different skill sets. You
mm-hmm.
know, both equally valuable, but and both have things that the other camp should learn. You know,
yeah,
both have their pros and cons.
Yeah, there's both valuable. I mean, there's valuable information in both spots. You know.
It's interesting. I want to accredit what you're saying about improv and how you like improv. What's really cool is to see people, comedians that have really, and these are the comedians I think are the funny, that guys that just sound like they're talking.
Yeah.
But a lot of them aren't just talking. It's not all improv, but they know their material so well. They've made it so tight, and they've got all these little gems in their bag of comedy that they can use. And they've got it so well written and prepared, and they know all the different edges and angles they can take.
Yeah.
And then they just go up on stage a lot. The best ones, they can just go up on stage and start pulling, just start feeling the crowd, and then go, okay, well, I think we're going to go down this way now. And then they just pull, you know, and they feed off that. And in a way, it's both writing and improv at a crossroads.
Yeah.
Those are really good comedians that can do both of those things to implement both.
I think
both.
Louis C.K. is one of those guys.
Yeah, I would
about.
Agree.
He's have you ever seen this thing called Talking Funny?
Yes,
where,
with
yeah,
Chris Rock. And,
yes,
And who was the other guys? It was Louis C.K. And then the British
Ricky Gervais,
guy, English guy,
and Seinfeld. Excuse me, I got a cough I'm working with. But
Seinfeld,
Jerry
Seinfeld. Jerry
Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, they're all just sitting in the room and talking, and he's like. He was talking about, if you've ever heard the bit that Louis C.K. had about going on vacation with your family
mm-hmm.
and like how hard it is to like get everything packed
right.
and make sure that this is ready and this is ready. And you know, he's talking about buckling his kids in and you know, closing all the doors and going around the other side to get to the passenger door. And that's the vacation that he's taking. Like before he takes his family on vacation. And I can't remember which one of them said it, but he said that the idea is that this guy's just talking to you about like his life. You could see his life is just falling apart.
Yeah.
and that's funny. But really, he said it's like really calculated. Like he knows what he's doing. He knows that he's bringing you down that path of like this guy's life is a mess. But there's a science to it, mm-hmm. you know.
And I'm just having,
I really hope I don't have this cough in an hour.
I'm having this flashback of what you're saying and all these of what I'm thinking are like top level comedians and what we were talking about, how, you know, Louis C.K. kind of plays the role of the guy whose life is falling apart.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. That's one of the reasons why he's really big with it. You take Joey Diaz, a guy whose life was falling apart.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. You go to George Carlin, life and the government and everything, politics, they're all falling apart.
Yeah.
He's really funny. I mean, you could go on and on. It's all experience right. of things that are falling apart. But for some reason, it's funny despite it being dark.
I think there needs to be a piece of you that is just a little bit like fucked up in order for you to be a comedian.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have to be dramatic, but there does have to be something to throw your perception off. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I mean, how many squeaky clean guys buttoned up with ties going to church every Sunday with big white smiles and slick back hair and all this stuff and is just doing his regular, you know, 9 to 5, just trying to be a law-abiding citizen. How many guys do you know that are funny?
That's not funny.
None of those dudes are funny. I haven't fucking met one of them.
Exactly.
I love that that downward spiral comedy. There's guys like that, and then there's like guys that are just off the map. Like, you can't imagine where this guy came from. I was thinking about Mitch Hedberg as one of those guys.
I was thinking about him too.
I really wish he was alive.
Another person whose life internally was going to pieces. I mean, he was on all kinds of stuff too. But in a way, that's what added to his delivery and his performance.
Yeah. I think maybe that had to happen in order for him to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know? And that what he was like to me is just the funniest thing. I still listen to. He has 3 CDs. He might have more, but whatever's on Spotify is what I listen to. And I listen to him all the time. All those one liners and stuff. For Stephen Wright was kind of Stephen Wright's sort of like him.
Awesome, yeah.
There's the writers, there's the improvers, and then there's guys that are just that make you go, "What the fuck? Like, how did this guy get here?"
Mm-hmm.
And those are. I don't think I can pick one of them. I think I like all those guys. I just like watching comedy, honestly.
It would be a really cool tribute for 2 stand-up comedians to go up, one playing the role of Mitch Hedberg, the other of Stephen Wright, and they just exchange one-liners for the crowd, like back and forth.
I would watch that for like 8 hours. I'm not kidding.
You should do it. You should be one of those roles.
Maybe one day, man, if somebody approaches me. I'm not really much of a one-liner guy, but fuck, I could work on it. I would love to do that.
You would be
8 hours is too long. Let's call it an hour and a half.
All you would be doing, you wouldn't be doing your own material. You would just be doing their material.
You'd be quoting Hedberg.
Yeah, you're quoting. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We should do that one day.
We'll
put it in the bag of ideas. It's going in. Podcast.
And there it is. Fictional bag. Well, anyway. I feel like I've hit a wall. I don't know why I said anyway. You guys could have kept talking, and I would have been able to jump back in. I wish I wouldn't have done that now.
Did you guys know that Santa would need to visit more than 1,000 homes per second in order to deliver presents to everybody on Christmas?
Thank God you have Google right in front of you.
Hey, man, I'm prepared.
Getting ready to say what I was going to say. Will you tell me that statistic one more time?
It's 1,000. He'd have to visit 1,000 homes per second in order to deliver all the presents to everybody on Christmas.
Well, I think that kind of puts the nail in the coffin, doesn't it? Like, we can put this whole Santa Claus thing to bed, finally.
Yeah, but magic. Magic's real.
Yeah, you got to account for magic. Is that what you're getting ready to bring up?
Magic fiddles every bit of that, yeah.
Goddamn magic, man.
Yeah, magic. Man.
I recently wrote I haven't wrote it. I've been meaning to write it, but now, bam, I'm going to remind myself by listening to my voice playing back right now about Santa Claus and like a group of people coming together saying how they want to invent a god and they want him to be this guy who's invisible but can see everything you can do and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And he's seasonal. He brings you good things, and if you're bad, you don't get anything. And then it goes to this big thing if they create Santa and then Jesus in the same meeting. So
I was kind of talking about that earlier, man. Just how, like, the knowledge of Santa Claus not existing, like, caused me to, like, question religion and, like, everything life was based on and the government and everything. Like, that sparked it, man. I became, like, probably when I was 13, I started looking at, like, conspiracies and stuff, man, because my parents lied to me for 13 years about Santa.
For most people, that's the first really big lie that matters to you.
Yeah.
Where you went, all right.
JFK can wait.
Yeah. Exactly, man.
Put a pin in JFK for just a second. I want to figure out what the fuck happened to Santa Claus. Why have you been telling me this for 10 years, Mom? I can't trust you. That's what it was. It breaks your trust, twists your realm or your vision on reality.
You have little nieces or nephews or something in your life though, right now?
I do.
Huh? Okay, so you kind of get it now though, right?
Yeah, you gotta lie to them. Yeah. You have to, man. You can't have a little cynical,
not where
shitty
I was going
kid.
With that.
Oh no. Okay.
Well, I mean, when you put it that way, that's absolutely true. I was gonna say, yeah, like, now you get it, like, in the magic of it, like, you kind of do it just because it's fun and all this,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
you gotta, you're right. You gotta lie to
them. Well, she's my niece, Mary Blake, is one now. One in like 2 months, and she doesn't understand anything, not really. So I'm gonna whisper in her ear that he's not real and see if it comes up later. It just as an experiment,
like a message in a bottle that you just threw into consciousness, and you're just waiting, yes, on an island somewhere to get it.
Yeah. So open, if you're bottle, listening to Santa this in 20 years, I'm sorry.
And I'm on an island.
Do you have nieces or nephews or anything like that?
I do.
You do?
Yeah. So that's how I relate to it, because, yeah, of what I was saying. Now I understand of why they, yeah, you know, the magic is there. Why not? I believe in the spirit of Christmas. So why can't I believe in the spirit of Santa Claus?
That's where I put my Santa mentality. Like, in my brain, I put that in a little pocket that said, "All right, he's not real. I can accept that, but I'll just say that the Christmas spirit finds a way, you know, into your life around this time, and that's sort of like why they made Santa Claus up." That's actually not true. They made Santa Claus up for a bunch. There's a documentary about this, but they, you know, the design of Santa Claus is based off of mushrooms.
The Amanita muscaria.
Stefan, I don't know why we don't
prepared.
Hang out. We don't hang out enough. We're really right here together.
Is that the red one with the white dots?
Uh huh. And they would hang it over fires to,
really,
dry them out, and you know they look like. And they also grew around underneath pine trees, and reindeer would eat them.
Isn't
and
that interesting?
They make you kind of see things like little tiny elves.
Yeah,
which is a common psychedelic.
I never thought about the tiny elf thing,
that,
but that's true.
Get.
And so,
yeah, I've done some research.
Christmas is based off of mushrooms.
So,
this is all new to me.
Reading, yeah. I should say.
How about
say
that?
I read.
How does
this.
That strike you?
I don't know, man. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can go with that. No, I like.
Well, it's in your brain now, so deal with it.
Is that the one mushroom that's like actually poisonous? Like, if you eat a little bit too much of it, it can pretty much like.
From what my research tells me, all mushrooms are poisonous. It's the poison that makes you have psychedelic experiences.
Yeah.
You're poisoning yourself.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's
but
fun,
I think,
right?
That one's like particularly
good poison.
Dangerous. Yeah.
If it's fun, it's okay. Last thing he said before he OD'd on heroin.
Oh,
yeah.
That's what it was, man.
Yeah.
It feel good.
Don't do heroin, kids.
No, it's fine, man. I'm having a good time. That was his last words. Our fictional guy we made up.
The other day, this woman asked me if I was excited for Christmas, and then her 7-year-old was with her. And I was like, I kind of don't like Christmas. And he goes, "You don't like Christmas? You're retarded." Which is that's what his mom did, was just laughed. And I just went, "No, fucking hit your kid."
No, that's hilarious, man. That is absolutely, oh, God.
Yeah, that is too funny. You can't just reprimand that kid for saying some funny shit.
Please tell that on stage. This statistic into that and then just be done with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I might, and I have an end part that I don't want to be on the internet.
Don't spoil it.
It's inappropriate.
We'll wait.
Whoa.
It gets much worse.
You got to consider that. I've already said a couple like crazy things that I don't necessarily want the public to know, but they know now, so whatever. But is it a weird idea to you guys that you might that like you go on stage and like admit to a bunch of crazy shit? Like, and because I think about
that's
this
what
because,
yours has been an admission.
Yeah, it
like,
really has.
Just like,
but that's funny. But all this shit's recorded. Like, I don't have it. You have a video or something. But all the stand-up I've done is on video somewhere. And I hope the cops don't ever, like, use it. I can just lie, right? Like, yeah, I can say, like, no, I'm on stage. I'm trying to be funny. It's totally...
It's not...
Not true.
You're good. They can't use that in court.
All that stuff's true. All right, but earlier I said all that stuff was true. So which lie am I telling? Seriously, you got to edit this podcast.
Now that is going to the government.
Speaking of things going to the government, all right, I'm glad you brought that
up. NSA, the NSA is saying that you can now buy back your information from them.
How much?
Oh, I'll pay.
That's bullshit, man.
I'm kidding. I don't know if that's true.
That would be
all right, good.
Wouldn't that be some shit if the government...
That's a hell of a hustle.
I know.
That's a very impressive hustle.
I think there was some satire article that got posted about
it. Yeah, definitely.
That would... That's a damn good satire right there.
But I was going to say... The NSA. People are... Are you going to get an Xbox One? Do you have any interest in that?
I just bought an Xbox 360 for the first time in like... Congratulations. 4 months ago. Thank you. Thank you. I'm a late bloomer. But, yeah.
Christmas, no real interest in it? Really? Eventually, maybe. Right?
Eventually. I don't play a lot of video games is the only thing. I'll find one game that like... you know, I like to play with my brother or my cousins.
Yeah.
And it's a social thing. Uh-huh. But, I mean, I'm just... doing way too much other stuff in my day-to-day life. But sometimes that's a good thing to unwind. And like, for example, I like to unwind by watching a lot of movies.
Yeah.
So that's fun for me. But I also go through phases. Like, sometimes I don't want to watch movies. I just want to read a bunch of books. Sometimes I don't want to read. Sometimes I want to be active, engaged in a video game.
You go through sometimes some moods.
Yeah, you go through different
whatever
things.
Whatever you're feeling that day.
Right.
But what I was going to say, are you familiar with the Kinect? You know what that is? Yeah. Well, now the new one comes with it, I guess, built in. And the big like draw of it is how like science fiction it is. You can walk into your room and say Xbox on, or Xbox play this movie or play that game.
So it's always on and waiting on you.
Yeah, that's the deal. It's constantly watching, and there's apparently a good argument that all this information is going straight to the NSA. Mm-hmm. So they're calling it the NSA Box One. I wanted to get some input amongst you guys and see how you felt about it. I don't care. The only thing I think is going to come from this is that the people that watch these things from the Microsoft are going to see some fucking crazy shit like every day. Because I don't think about it, but I'm sure I do some weird stuff in front of my Xbox. And now people are going to do weird stuff on purpose in front of their Xbox.
There's going to be YouTube montages of people just picking their noses.
Yeah.
Dude, that's like that, that was a Kindle Fire. They have that Mayday button.
I am getting ready to do a bit about that. So if you are too, let me know. I'm not.
The what button?
The Mayday button. You spearhead this one.
What?
They have the commercials for the Kindle Fire, and it's this dude. He's like, oh, what's this button do? And he taps it, and then this live person comes on. And she's there to like help your problem. She can like press buttons on there. It's just going to be a lot of dicks.
Yeah. When you saw that, you instantly thought that, oh, dudes are going to jerk off on that thing.
Yep. Yeah, dude.
The Kindle people were like, it's for Kindle, right?
Right. I'm pretty sure it's Kindle.
They were like, all right, well, this is, we've got this idea, but it's going to make it, at first, it's going to be like chat roulette. That's all it's going
to
be.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, talk to
you guys just got to deal with
a whole bunch of penises over and
over and
over.
It's a bad job, but everybody's going to make a paycheck. You're just going to have to see more dicks than you want.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. But here's what I want to
still get paid minimum wage.
I want to see... this is going to happen to somebody eventually. All right, so you just got hired to be a Mayday worker or whatever to help, you know, troubleshoot bullshit. And the first five guys are all not saying a word, just jerking off on camera and staring at it. And you got to – I imagine they have to go, sir, fuck it. Sir, what is your problem? What can I help you with? Sir. All right. I'm out.
They have to ask him a question. They can't just, you know, turn on and just stare.
And I'm hoping that they're going to go through like 15 guys just jerking it. And then one guy who's also naked, but he's like, yeah, I can't figure out how to open this certain part of my settings. But he's still naked and his dick is out. But he's just like, I can't figure out how to upload this file. Can you help me with that?
The Kindle Fire
that's the bit that I was going to do on stage.
And then afterwards, he starts jerking it after they help him.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, thank you.
He's like, oh, God, thank you.
It finally opens up to the page he was trying to get, and she sees it's all porn.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Kindle Fire should have Kindle Fire right next to the camera should have put a really powerful laser, and just every time, just lasers.
That could be like the worst job or the best job if you just like looking at strangers' dicks.
Depending on how fucking weird you are, man. If you fall into that subsector of like guy that likes to see 100 dicks a day, that is your dream job. That's not me. I don't want to fucking do that. I can tell you that right now. That's like being a telemarketer on like a fucking gross level. Like you're gonna have to deal with people all day, but you're just gonna see dicks instead of just hear voices.
Is it just a button? Like, just a button on the side of it?
It's on the screen.
Yeah.
It has to be unlocked and everything to be able to use it, though.
Yeah.
I was like, because there'd be some random time somebody bumps into the button, you know? Like,
that, I don't know.
There's a lot of annoyance involved in that line of work, I'm sure.
Yeah, never go on chat roulette. It's not what you expect. It's not like
I've never
intelligent
been.
People like having conversations.
I've seen South Park, and if it's anywhere close to that, I'm just not going to do it.
We've done it a few times.
What was your experience?
We had some interesting conversations. There are a lot of dicks. There's a lot less dicks now.
Really?
Because they ban you for using dicks.
They're phasing the dicks out.
They got a dick ban on
chat. How funny would it be to get that message from the chat roulette company? Like, we banned your account for indecent exposure or whatever.
It's just like, no, I just got a dick-shaped vase behind me. I don't even have a...
Maybe that's where the Kinect technology will move. Kindle Fire will open up and they'll just see a hologram picture of the room. And if they see anything that looks out of place, like,
shit's getting too crazy.
Xbox
man.
Off.
That was a good way to finish that.
Have you seen, since you brought up the Kinect, have you seen the Oculus Rift?
I haven't. What is that?
It sounds a lot more intimidating.
Dude, this thing is... It's turning some heads in the virtual reality world. It's a virtual reality thing you put on and you can play. They've ran Half-Life 2 off of it. And they have some games that developers have made specifically for it. And there is a... I don't know if this is the same product packaged in with the Oculus Rift. It goes by another name. But it's this platform... smaller, it's circular, but it's smaller than what this table is. Uh-huh. And you stand on it, and you have this thing that goes up to the sides, and then it goes around your waist to keep you in that circle. And then the dome, the bottom of it, it's like a dome. The circle you're sitting on, it's sloped inward, and it's slippery, and you wear shoes like
so you can actually walk on it.
And you walk on it. You can run on it.
I remember virtual reality back in the day. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't walk or anything. You know, you just kind of turn.
Mm-hmm. Well, this one, you'll be able to walk, run, turn 360 degrees, and you have this headset on. And I've seen videos where people have guns, and they're playing, and they're walking around and doing all this stuff. So right now, they're giving it away. Not giving it away, but you can go onto their website and become a like a Kickstarter thing.
Yeah.
Where you'll pay a certain amount of money, whatever it is, $500
to get it started up, and then you receive one.
They're giving them already.
Oh,
people,
wow.
If you
that's
contribute,
crazy,
they give you one.
Yeah.
Not
how
the
much? What kind of money are we talking about here?
I don't know. It's just the Oculus Rift that I'm talking about that they're giving to
not
people.
The platform.
Not the platform. Because I think that's a different developer. But it's going to be used in conjunction with each other.
Dude, are we not living in the fucking Jetsons?
I mean,
were you talking about this when you were a kid? Like, because that's the only direction video games could go, really. They're only going to get so real before you're in virtual reality, and fuck, here we are.
Yeah, dude, I'm old school.
Weird,
I'm from
the
NES days, you know?
Yeah,
those
man.
Are my first video games.
We
Mario, have, little Mario on 2D.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I was talking about, man, on Atari, you know? Little joystick.
Yeah.
Just bouncing across the road, trying not to get run over, man.
Can you believe we've gone from Pong to Grand Theft Auto 4, or 5.
Where you can smoke meth and beat hookers. All at one time.
Virtually, you can get all that out of your system.
Would go
Xbox.
Evolve to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Pac-Man. That was the day's adventure game.
Yeah. Pac-Man's still badass.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was in Colorado recently, a guy had the arcade thing in his living room.
Was it four spots or was it like one-on-one or what?
It was Miss Pac-Man and two people could play it.
Okay. Yeah. I went to this place in Denver called One Up. Uh-huh. I've never been anywhere like this before. It was like a magical land in my mind.
God, I missed out on that.
Yeah, you did.
Son of a bitch.
Like, you go in there, and it's an arcade. And it's an arcade slash bar where they have all these, like, specialty beers. And, you know, there's Mortal Kombat and whatever, and they play Tool. And oh, nice. I felt like I didn't want to leave there ever. Like, that was exactly where I wanted to hang out every night. Because, I don't know. I know you were. I was super into video games when I was a kid. I still kind of am. Like, I play Call of Duty and whatnot, but that's like my nerd haven where I can drink. By the way, the beer in Colorado, especially like Coors and stuff like that, is notably better than it is here.
Mm-hmm. Like, they have a lot of local breweries in Colorado.
Yeah, there's a huge microbrews, and it's impressive out there, man. I want to go back.
I want to live there. That's why I go there.
Yeah.
That's why I travel there. Because I like it so much.
I need to find an excuse to live there. I might be out there at some
point. We've talked about it. I mean, and Jeff Bush.
Yeah.
I mean, we went to Austin, Texas to go check that out as well.
Yeah.
Austin,
Texas.
I've heard Austin is awesome.
Yeah, it really is. They have the bolder people, the vibe.
Yeah.
But they...
Hippie.
No, not even well, Boulder is pretty hippie-ish, but the rest of Colorado in general, besides the bits and pieces that are more rural and all this kind of stuff, they have the same progressive attitude geared toward creativity and arts and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
They're just really smart, good young crowd.
Yeah, I literally did not see anyone over 50 the entire week that I was there.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's young there. It's incredible. It's like everybody's just kind of flooding the
Colorado
city. Yeah.
And where the youngest people are is where you're going to get the most interesting, innovative, new ideas and technologies.
Yeah.
And that's
why it's
technology
exciting
capital
to be there.
Right now, man.
Yeah.
Austin, you know, that's my buddy moved out there just to do IT.
Yeah, and the fact that they're doing this weed thing that's legal, I mean,
a great deal.
Whether you're for or against marijuana, the fact that they're doing it first in our country and it's a big issue and it's become a big thing, that in itself is making it the cause of a lot of attention. Plus, it's gorgeous. It's probably the most beautiful place in America.
I got to drive.
The weather's great. They get 300 days of sunshine, but they still get snow and all other stuff.
Oh, man, it's a magical land.
Air there. Have you go and taste the air, and it's delicious.
It's different, palatable. Man. It just is.
Well,
Colorado has
palatable
air.
You fly back in a Gulfport.
I want to go somewhere
breathe.
Where the beer flows like wine.
Exactly.
You know? Talking about a little place called Aspen. As a Dumb and Dumber quote, I'm sure somebody will pick up on it. Somebody told me the other day that they didn't like that movie, and it almost like made my brain pop. And I'm not kidding. I can't imagine how you wouldn't at least appreciate that movie. Do you remember the one, the part about them, they just escaped sea bass or whatever, and they're getting pulled over, and the guy's like, pull over. He's like, what? I can't. He's like, pull over. He said, no, it's a cardigan, but thanks. That's fucking genius. Like, how could you possibly not like that? And there's Dumb and Dumber 2 coming at us. So I don't know when, but soon. And even the title is funny. It's Dumb and Dumber 2, T-O. That makes me giggle every time I read it. Like, I can't wait to see that.
Is it going to have Jim Carrey in it?
Yeah, that's the draw. It's not Dumb and Dumber. It's Dumb and Dumber 2 with Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels. And apparently they're like looking for their lost sons or something. I read like something on IMDb.
That's a winner
script. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Very cool.
Another sequel, I think it could be out now, is Anchorman 2.
Yeah.
I think it's
I want
next
to
week.
See that.
Yeah.
They've been hyping it up for a while.
Yeah, they have.
It's a Will Ferrell movie, so they
always they've been hyping it up through like Dodge commercials.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? I love that.
Them. The horse.
Yeah. He's like, you could fit four sandwiches.
This car literally has more horsepower than you. You are worthless. And you see the other little horse, right? Oh, I didn't realize you were with your son. Hello, son. What are you studying in school?
Dude, it's just so silly. I love that character. I really like Steve Carell in that too.
Yeah, great.
Just
that's
almost not even a functioning person.
Have you ever seen either of them do stand up?
No.
I bet they'd be pretty good at
Farrell,
it.
Farrell, I've seen him do something. I think it's called like A Night with George Bush. Oh, yeah, or A Night with W or something.
Yeah. Where he plays a character.
It's him as George Bush for an hour.
That's pretty cool.
And it's fucking great. Yeah. I loved it. Like, it's... That's one of the funniest dudes alive right now to me. Like,
I remember his thing he did on George Bush one time where he was like looking in the camera and he was standing there and he had the accent going and everything. He's like, "I will not let you down. America will rise again. Now watch me hit this drive." Sweet.
I love that, man. I know. I don't know why I'm pumping this guy up. He's fine, but I'm going to do it anyway. I brought it up downstairs. Gilbert Godfrey's coming here in like 9 days. I don't know if I can get tickets or not, but I'm fucking going.
Where is it at again?
At the Hard Rock.
Okay.
I believe. I hope I don't have that information wrong. If you really want to know, Google it, because I don't know what the fuck I'm talking
about.
How
much tickets? 30, 50?
I think they're like 10, 15 bucks.
Oh, well, let's go.
They're just going to get people in the door, man. Yeah.
Right. And I don't, I can't remember like any real material I've heard him say, but I know I've seen him
I have no clue
perform.
Who he is, but if you say he's all right, I'll
go. Are you familiar with Iago from Aladdin, the parrot?
Yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah.
That guy's fucking voice.
Okay.
He,
I know him. I know him for sure.
Yeah. That dude, he's one of those guys
have made a career off of a single voice.
He's made it off of his voice, and that's, I mean, he's had some good material and stuff,
right.
But it's his voice and it's his eyes like are almost closed, and he's always rubbing his head to show you he's like having like migraines from talking about this too.
Small mental breakdowns from anger.
Yes, I
the
fucking
guy
love
falling
it.
Apart. Yeah,
that's there, we come right back to it, man.
Exactly.
One of the few things I can actually remember him seeing, it was on like VH1, and yeah. He made it in like the top 10 ugliest people alive.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw
and he
that.
Said
rude.
Like he was on the show, and his bit was something like, "My friend Stephen Hawking is very upset that he isn't on this list." Just pretty much, yeah.
Wow. See, that is a sign of a true comic. You can take the most terrible insult that gets published national level and just take it and turn it into a funny joke. Incredible.
A lot of guys do that too soon comedy, you know, where you know it's too soon to be telling a joke about this. How many people came up with a joke about the Fast and the Furious and Paul Walker died?
Here it is. You ready?
No, I'm not.
Boom.
Are you going to do it? You have one?
I do. I'm not going to do it, though. I changed my mind.
That's
you
smart.
Talked me out of it.
I think it might be. It's fuck, man. It's too soon. But
I don't know.
There's a lot of jokes there, man.
Mine's a social
man.
Commentary thing. Mine's not like, ha-ha.
No, I don't. I do not think it's funny. He's dead. I love Paul Walker. I really did. There was a line in Fast and the Furious 2 that almost like got me. I didn't want to fucking look at that guy anymore. At one point, I can't remember what the scenario was, but him and Tyrese are walking away from a scene, and he's like, "Hey, man, what happened back there?" And he's like, "I said, forget about it, cuh." And I watched me and my cousin put that on a loop, just that one like line, and we watched it like 45 times. It's because we couldn't believe it, and it was so funny to us. I don't know where the fuck I was going with that, but that happened.
That's what you justified your Paul Walker love for right there.
Yeah, I guess that was it. What the hell?
We believe you.
But
it's not too soon.
I don't have a joke about it. I don't think that way, Lyle.
It's not too soon, man.
No, all the jokes I saw were all on Twitter. It was all the same thing. It's pretty hacky, so.
Yeah,
I can see how you can go down that road. Yeah. That's one thing that comedians get criticized for is being hacky. I don't really... I mean, I know what it means.
Hacky?
Yeah, hacky. Like,
forced
how would you...
Oh, just cutting people down, huh?
Yeah, you can do that. Well,
yeah.
That
no,
too,
not,
but
not
don't
really
you also...
people down.
Yeah.
Kind of like cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Like
hacky, like you're faking it almost, would you say is a good way? Like you're just...
It's like synthetic comedy.
Yeah. Huh.
You know?
You're taking like the elbow jabs kind of
You're taking
thing.
Easy formulas and then utilizing that kind of thing.
Yeah, just plugging in, basically.
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, nothing original.
Like, that's bullshit.
Like one example would be creative. Instead of giving a punchline, you sing it. And that makes it like a little bit funnier.
Okay,
that's hacky. I've heard.
Or you say something over and over again. That's like your thing that you say. You know, you say a funny joke and then you say, whatever.
Like get her done.
Yeah. You familiar with the word kitschy?
Huh?
Kitschy.
Kitschy.
Familiar with that? Kitschy. Same thing, but with art.
Oh well, there it is.
Any type of art.
Yeah, you know that
Where does that originate?
Yeah,
well, with your artist friend.
Yeah, yeah.
I can
understand. Heavily involved in your life. What's that?
I can feel hacky. I understand, but like, where, kitschy. What?
How did we get?
That originate?
No clue.
No clue. It's just
K-I-T-S-C-H-E.
Came part of the language.
Yeah, kitsch.
Yeah, it just kind of came. Well, that's really cool about something that can develop its own language, and comedians have their own language. You know.
Yeah, I think there's some hacky guys that are funny. I've never seen the guy. I heard about this, and this is a good picture of what is hacky. But and it's one of those bits that takes like a good 5 minutes before you start laughing at it. I can't remember who was telling the story, some comedian, but he said he saw a guy on an open mic. Every time he finished a bit, like he hit his punchline, and right as soon as he hit it, he went, "Hamburger." And it took like a good like 15 hamburgers before you were like, "Fuck, he's going to say it." Like you're waiting on him to say it. And like he to do that after every bit, I mean, that's dedication, but that's like a good picture of what hacky is. Like he just used that one thing to get you going.
So like too easy. It's like cheating.
Yeah. Kinda. Yeah, that is too easy, but that shit's funny.
Yeah, dude, something that
I like bits that wear on you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I like a build up on a bit.
Yeah.
I like the big payoff at the end, you know, instead of quick thing. And a lot of hacky comics will just do quick, ha-ha, you know, things that have been rehearsed and done over and over. They don't have a lot of originality in their every, you know, they go and do it over and over again. And they do a catchphrase or something over and over again. That kind of
I don't like those catchphrase guys.
Yeah, it works for some things. But when you know they're going to do it over and over and over again, you just feel like where's the magic in that next performance? Yeah. And what incentive do you have to come back and see it again?
All the blue-collar guys, right? I don't know if Ron White has something, but I think they all have
all the other ones do. Jeff,
here's your sign.
But in his defense, he just does that as like a segment. He does new things.
Yeah,
you know?
No, Foxworthy is actually really good.
Yeah, I think they are pretty talented.
I don't like Larry they all the Cable are. Guy.
Larry the Cable Guy is faking that shit.
Yeah,
that's I heard him. That. I don't
even,
know if I
it's not
it.
Him, and it's not
is
close.
Is he faking it, or is he living a character that we that only we get to see? You know, he's kind of smart. He's done a thing where he can just throw on a hat and go anywhere in public, and he just looks like a regular dude. You know,
he's
just a big dude with a beater. You could put a hat on.
Yeah, I mean,
whatever
I
he's doing
him.
With his face. I mean, people are going to recognize him. But he also looks a lot like just a regular, stereotypical dude, specifically a redneck, quote-unquote, dude.
Yeah.
And he plays that role, and he does very well in that niche.
He's a good performer.
He is. And he's got good stories. I don't think he's... he may be into that character very much, but I wouldn't say that he's living a lie or anything like that, you know?
Yeah. Those guys
Well, I mean, is that a complete separate, you know, act? Is it just an act, the entire thing? Is he even like...
Could be.
Country at all? You know, that's what I wonder.
I don't think so.
Because I've heard that.
Yeah, I think he's made up the character.
Really? Huh.
But that's kind of fucking smart. I can appreciate that,
but you can look
that,
at so many comedians and their stage persona is different than their real life persona.
Yeah.
So you're just an exaggerated version of yourself.
It's like implementing theater into a different form of performance.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it. I just don't find
it
funny. I just don't like his.
He kind of played off of an entire crowd that was just waiting to be played on, you know?
Yeah.
They have the older, like, southern market on lock.
Yeah, they
like,
took
they
to
have
it.
Destroyed that.
Well, who was it? Bill Ingvall?
Ingvall.
Bill Ingvall.
Yeah.
I heard him in an interview one time. He said something really interesting. He was like, you know, we were doing the comedy in the cities, and then we started going on tour, and we started doing this material, and it seemed like every time we got out of a city... you know, we were starting to do material that people related to anybody who lived 10 minutes outside of a city. All of a sudden, all those people, they understood our comedy. So then we started catering to those people, and then we just started drawing in crowds that appreciated that kind of comedy, you know, that backwoods, you know, wild man or woman kind of thing, roughing it out. It's kind of a cowboy mentality of it, you know, of an old school Western stance of comedy. Yeah. People don't necessarily look at it because they see a lot of quote unquote rednecky material and things that are country. But those stereotypes are what they feed on and what plays into their material.
Yeah.
And people
some of that
like
stuff
it.
Is really funny, man.
It is.
It just is.
It is.
It's hard to fight that.
Yeah.
Ron White, he's going to be here too soon.
Yeah, he makes quite a few appearances.
I kind of like him. But his bit is that he's drunk.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, he's just a worthless drunk getting on stage, pretty much. You know?
He's like a rascal.
I think that's pretty real, though.
Yeah, I feel like that's him.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, you know.
Stephen Leeper, he used to work in somewhere around here where they...
The Bow.
And he got to see Ron White both nights that he was there, back to back.
Wow.
And he said he was impressed. He came out with different stuff the other night, you know? So I think he's a pretty fluid
dude. He just
kind of
sits there and talks, yeah.
He seems versatile, you know? And he's also... hugely experienced. Ron White's been doing it decades.
Yeah, probably. For sure, probably.
Yeah. And he's
been a long
time. He's got the same vibe of the fluidity and a guy. You know, you can go back and watch a Ron White video from probably 20 years ago and still see that aged, experienced, comfortable guy on stage that you would see today.
Yeah.
It's true.
So you got to respect someone who's doing it and really pushing it and getting it going every day. I recently watched a movie. The Prestige with... Have you ever seen this movie?
I'm not familiar.
Daniel, you've seen this
movie. Yeah, I've seen that one.
It's with Christian Bale and...
I don't know.
Another guy who's good.
I queued you up and you gave him nothing.
Who's the guy? Hugh Jackman. And they're both magicians. And it also features Michael Bolton. The guy from Batman.
Please tell me it's Michael Bolton.
Yeah, it's Michael Bolton. That'd be amazing.
Alfred from Batman.
Keaton? No. Is that it?
Michael Keaton does ring a bell, and I think he's got some kind of connection
to
Batman.
Who I'm talking
about. So I'm going to go with that.
Was it
the new Batman? Alfred, you know who I'm talking about,
yeah.
Right? So it's Michael something. In it, and there's a popular actress, too. But they're two magicians who become into a feud. They used to work together, and something happens, and then they start trying to top each other, and crazy stuff goes on. And then this is in the age of when Nick Tesla is creating electricity and all this stuff, and he comes in, and he puts a cloning implement in. He creates this crazy device for the ultimate magician magic trick and all this kind of stuff. Fantastic movie. Fantastic. Yeah. You should see it. The ending's crazy, of course, and all this stuff. But there's this part in the film when the guy from Batman, Alfred, he tells both the guys, he says, because they're trying to think of an original trick that's would bring people in every night, and it's the hardest trick to do. And he says, go see Master King Yang Jun at the ballroom down the way and tell me how he does his fishbowl thing. If you can do that, I'll give you each $100. So they go and they watch this guy, and all he does is it's an old Chinese guy, and he's on stage, and he hobbles up to this, he's got a cane, he's wobbling, he walks up to this stool, and he, like, does something. He has a blanket, and he walks over, and he puts it in front of the stool so the audience can't see the stool, and he just waves it, and then he lifts it, and there's a goldfish bowl full of water with a goldfish in it sitting on the table, and they're like, and they're both thinking about it, and Christian Bale is like, I know exactly how he did it.
Yeah.
And it's they go out back to watch him get into his carriage, the magician, the Chinese magician man, and he's like getting along real slow with his cane. And Christian Bale tells his Hugh Jackman, he says, you see that? You see what he's doing there? He says, that's the real magic trick. He's like, what are you talking about? And then he goes home, he doesn't tell him, and he goes home to see if he can replicate it. And what he's doing is the guy, the Chinese man, has been pretending to be a crippled for his entire career so that he can have that stance, because he puts the goldfish bowl under his robe between his knees to wobble.
Yeah, drops it down.
Wow.
He has lived his entire life with this career to do this one trick. And that's
his life.
That's the person he is in and outside his everyday, his living room. When he goes outside, he's the crippled old man that can barely move. And it's all for this one trick that he does.
That's dedication.
It's dedication.
Yeah.
And those other comedians like Ron White and other people, or even Larry the Cable Guy, if they're doing that same thing.
Fucking dedicated, man.
It's crazy
to
think
about.
You gotta
give them that respect.
That is crazy.
You know who I want to see at an open mic now that you got me thinking about it?
Who's that?
A fucking magician. I would love to see that more than anyone.
Someone
I want to see a comic magician. You know?
Yeah.
It's not going to fucking be me. I'm not crafty enough. But I'd like to see that happen.
That would be pretty cool.
I think if we actually got a scene operating down here, we'd run into a lot of crazy shit. And that's what I'm looking to do.
Yeah.
I want to hear people say a lot of crazy shit on stage.
Yeah, I'm hoping. You know? I'm hoping like people can listen to this and like maybe know somebody that knows somebody who would do exactly what you're talking about, or any other things that we've mentioned, and just go on and contact through the through Coastal Noise to find out, because then we'd have a connection between those people.
Yeah, well, they can just email you, huh? You get back to most of your emails.
Yeah. I mean, it might take a couple of days, but if I get somebody who sends me something, I'm going to try to, unless you're just being a dick.
Yeah.
You know, just cutting it down.
Yeah, but if you're listening to this right now and you're considering it at all, just go fucking do it. If you think you can be funny, or if even if
entertaining.
If you just can be entertaining, go do open mics. I would recommend that. Like, that's what we're doing. On stage is fucking, to me, it's fun. Like,
it is fun. Yep.
Minutes before, I'm like a basket of nerves. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck to do with myself. But once I'm up there, man, I'm having a really good time. And also, you guys performing, I love watching comedy. Like, I went to that Joey Diaz show like a year ago. Mm-hmm. The only one I've ever been to. I got to meet the guy. It was fucking awesome. And all that. But that night, I realized, like, I have way, way more fun going to see a comedy show than I do going to see, going to a bar, or going to see just, like a cover band at a bar. Like, and that's usually what I've been accustomed to until I got to go do that. And now that I know what that's like, I can't imagine that it doesn't exist down here on the coast, that we don't have a scene for that. And since we don't, somebody's got to do it. We should.
There may be neighboring places like Pascagoula and Bay St. Louis that are doing some stuff too. So if anybody's listening to this, you've been in the long haul for this entire recording process. If you know anybody anywhere in any neighboring cities, whether it's Gulfport, Biloxi, Ocean Springs, Pascagoula, Bay St. Louis, any of the places we've named that do open mics, let us know, because we're on the lookout.
Yeah, email this guy.
We've been trying to find, or any of it, social media. We're all on the internet. We're all on Facebook and Twitter and all this stuff.
We definitely are.
Anybody here, you know, and and that's how we'll just build up and figuring out who knows what and where to go. That's how it all needs to go down.
Yeah. If any of this is motivating you to go and do comedy, you know, get it started. If I had any advice to give you, is don't wait. If you want to go do this, do it. It's. I told you downstairs that the first time I did it was like ripping off a Band-Aid for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I did it, and after I did it, I realized that I could do it. And now when I do it, I have a lot. It's one of the most like fun parts of my day. You know, I'd heavily recommend at least trying it. Do it anywhere.
Let's do it. Let's do it right now.
Yeah, let's go. What time is it?
Say, you guys about to have to leave, man.
Oh, shit, dude, it's almost 9 o'clock. We got to wrap this thing up quick, fast, and in a hurry.
That's where we're going, people. You know what it is, coastalnoise.com.
And we'll be there most Thursdays if you have developed an interest in me, Ryan Vanskyver, or Stefan Lawson, or this character. I'm kidding. Daniel Cavanaugh, also a fantastic comedian.
Yeah. That's always, if I ever decide to go out to an open mic at the grocery or anywhere else, always try to tweet it just so people know about it.
Yeah.
Just to bring people in. Yeah. Maybe you'll get new talent out of it, so y'all should all do it.
Let's start fucking tweeting, man. The first thing we got to start doing is leaving, because we got somewhere to be.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to wrap this up. CoastalNoise.com. Peace.
Yeah, I've heard about that.